In our psalm this morning, we have this theme of God reigning over the world, but the kingdoms of the world being in turmoil and fear. And then in the gospel acclamation, we had that most famous verse from Psalm 95, "Harden not your hearts, hear the voice of God." And this is the theme at the heart of our readings today, that we would not harden our hearts, that we would hear the voice of God. In our gospel, Jesus refers to Capernaum. And the significance of Capernaum is this: it was his headquarters in the northern part of Palestine. That's where he spent most of his time. And he's saying to the people there that you've seen me, you've seen my miracles, you've seen my teaching, and yet you do not hear. You will not hear, you will not repent. And this finds particular expression in our Old Testament lesson, and this is where I want to focus our attention this morning. This is a difficult text, because you need to understand its context in order to make sense of it. And you might have heard that reading and thought, what in the world is that about? Who are all these people whose names mean absolutely nothing to me? And the thing is, when you understand the context of this reading, it will come alive for you. So let me just take a couple of minutes now to explain it for you. Reference is made to Ahaz. Now, Ahaz is the king of Judah, the southern of the two countries in Palestine. Israel is the northern country, Judah is the southern country, and Ahaz is the king of Judah. And here's the thing about the Judean kings: they are all descendants of King David. It's one family. Now, in the north is Israel, and Israel broke away from Judah at the time of the civil war subsequent to King Solomon, hundreds of years earlier. But what's different about the north is they have successive kingdoms, that there is not the continuity of one familial line. And up there in the north, as we've got Ahaz down in the south, we have two kings referred to, King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel. Okay, with these names in mind, we can understand what's going on here. So, Aram is another name for Syria. So what's happened in the north? Syria, which is north of Israel, have come into an alliance, and they are going to attack Jerusalem, where Ahaz is king. They seek to go up to Jerusalem, but their attempt on the city is unsuccessful. But listen to the way in which the prophet describes the reaction of King Ahaz, the king of Judah. "The heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind." In other words, they are freaking out. And what do you do when you feel like your whole world is collapsing? Well, you try to solve the problem. And Ahaz thinks, I know exactly what to do. I am now going to form an alliance with the king of Assyria. He had a great name, Tiglath-Pileser. That's the king of Assyria. Now, you have to appreciate, who's Assyria? They're the superpower. They are the dominant power in the Middle East at this time. Doesn't that seem to make sense to you? If the brother from the north has formed an alliance with Syria, I'm going to go in league with the big guy. I'm going to go in alliance with the king of Assyria. Now, let me just read to you a little bit of this interaction that King Ahaz has with the king of Assyria. And in order to find this, you have to go over to the book of 2 Kings in the 16th chapter. "When King Ahaz went to Damascus," so that's actually in Syria, "he met with King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, and he saw the altar that was at Damascus. King Ahaz sent to the priest Uriah a model of the altar and its pattern, exact in all of its details. The priest Uriah built the altar in accordance with all that King Ahaz had commanded. Now, here's what you have to appreciate. Not only does Ahaz go into alliance with the king of Assyria, he actually builds an Assyrian altar in the Jerusalem temple. Do you know what that means? Apostasy. In order to form a political alliance, he completely disregards who he is as a Jew. And into this whole mix comes the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, as he comes to Ahaz, says the following. It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, no longer a people. So what Isaiah is doing here is he's saying to Ahaz, you have to have the big picture. You have to have the long view. Within 65 years, Ephraim, which is another name for Israel, will be completely defeated. By who? By the Assyrians. But you, Ahaz, are called to another way of being. And it comes at the very end of our passage. If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. And here's the point. Ahaz does not listen to Isaiah. He has the prophet there in his very presence, but he rejects his word and in the end seeks to do what he thinks is the expedient thing, which is to align himself with Assyria. Oh, here's another point about this. In 2 Kings 16, Ahaz refers to himself as being a son of the king of Assyria. That's a lie. He's a son of David. But he has completely forgotten who he is because he is so overwhelmed by the crisis he finds himself in. So what is the application for us? The beautiful thing about Scripture is that the Holy Bible speaks of the reality of living in a world like this, where there are always those forces that are seeking to combat, to undermine, and pull us away from Jesus Christ. And if all we do is look at the world around us to define who we are going to be lost. We are going to not only align ourselves with the wrong powers, but in the end, we will also compromise our faith. And so we are to be a people who take to heart one other verse from this passage in Isaiah chapter 7. For we are told that when Isaiah went to meet Ahaz, he took with his son Sha'ar Jashub. Now in the Bible, names mean something. And the name Sha'ar Jashub means the remnant will return. The remnant will return. In other words, Isaiah's son's name means there is still hope. Because Ahaz, you've maybe compromised your faith to a point beyond all return. But there will be a remnant. There will be those who see clearly what is going on in this world, and they will stand by faith. May we also stand by faith. May we see faith as the foundation on which we build our lives that allows us to have not the perspective of Ahaz, but the perspective of Isaiah. To have the perspective of Jesus, so that when we hear God's word, we will not harden our hearts, but we will respond in such a way that we are confident that because we have faith, not in ourselves, but faith in Jesus Christ, that we can stand and be part of God's faithful remnant in our own day.